Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Lone Wolf Base Section Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. You just met Weber on the board. SP Futures, like, unchanged. Down 75 cents. Dow Futures up 9. NASDAQ Futures down 12. Oil up 30 cents. 74.63 West Texas. We have the employment report coming out today. Everybody's, I think, looking for 168 various and sundry people with different stuff. But some are looking at the employment rate, going up to 3.9. But we will, you know, we'll see. It's been... The ADP number the other day came in very hot, so we'll see. Some people would think that this number might be a lot higher than it's coming out. It might be over 2, so we will see how that works out. Kevin, how are you? You ready for the big jobs number?
Sure. What's it going to be?
Well, if you look at the ADP number, you would think it's going to be a little higher than the than the consensus right now is. Actually, Bloomberg's got 180. I had Market Watch as 168 yesterday. Last month was 201. I'm going to go with a little higher number, actually. And some people have the unemployment rate down at 3.8, so which probably means people are leaving the workforce, because last month, remember, Carl talked about, and we'll have him on next week, he talked about last month how many 100,000 people, 180,000 people went back out of the workforce again, which is kind of an odd number for August. So...
I don't necessarily know that. I think it was Lou that speculated it might be students going back to school.
Yeah, but they go back to school every year.
Or that a chunk of it might be. Yeah. You know, that wouldn't necessarily explain all of it.
All right, so how many people... You know, I don't know this, but I'm going to say, unlike our era, which is like a gone past era, we'll ask Matty Weber. He's a young guy. He's supposed to know this stuff. How many guys that go to the guys or women that go to the full-time colleges now, Manny, with a big, huge, tuitions and stuff, how many of them have a real solid summer job? I mean, half these people go back to middle of August and stuff. I mean, it's not like they don't do anything. I'm not accusing them of that. I'm just saying the idea of the three-month summer job, I don't know, that might be going away the dodo bird, isn't it?
I don't know that that's true at the moment. Again, I can only speak for my region, but, you know, I live in a place where they are, the unemployment's really low. There's a lot of manufacturing jobs, and they are, and the employers are complaining that they can't fill them and keep the people. I mean, there's multiple issues involved in there, but there's always openings. Everybody has a now hiring sign out in front of the place.
I think you're right about that. But, Manny, how many, because you don't have that many people in school anymore. I mean, that's probably a question for Jay-Z, is how many people...
I was going to say, Matt's getting kind of old for speaking for the young generation now, don't you think?
Well, he speaks for the generation under us. That just means it's not no longer the younger generation.
Oh, no, he's about three below behind us.
Well, I don't know. What's Thomas, what, 41? What are you, Manny? 35? He's not even telling. Anyway, we got the numbers are coming out today, and then we'll hear about them from Carl next week, and... Still haven't. We've not made any appreciable budge in the somehow or another, Kevin. It's got to be a multifaceted thing. We should to make real progress in this country. The 92 million people that are not in the workforce. Somehow we got to get that number down to below 80. And I don't know how the hell we're going to do that. That would, to me, would be a huge goal if I was a president. Some combination of. Drug interdiction, working things. I mean, somehow or another, there's a connection there. There's a gentleman, my man Nate, who has been anyway, I use him, whether it's a fake name or not, nobody will know. But he was a guy who was had some drug issues. He's a veteran. I think he must have spent some time. I'm not sure. I never asked him, but rumors are. And he, you know, he started selling the streetwise out in front of the Starbucks. And well, now he's clean as all get out. And he goes to the meetings every day at the veterans. But he's got three or four other people that he now does stuff for people in the neighborhood. You know, cleans the place up. I got him one day a week. Comes over to my place. Cleans the front, does everything. There's plants, they'll plant them, take care of everything. And I mean, there's probably five people on my block now that have this gentleman come by, and he's got his crew. And we've got to be pretty good friends. And so when I went to a big lumber haul, I'll just say, hey, Nate, you feel like breakfast and making a few bucks? He goes, yeah. So we ride, and you know, and we talk. And he says the biggest danger is these guys that he is helping out. Most of them are all vets, and they've all got some drug issues. He says the biggest danger is you got to have something to do during the day. It's so much easier to kick the habit if you've got a job, or even if it's sweeping up at five different people's places. You got to get yourself out of the apartment. And
oh yeah, idle time is absolutely dangerous. Yep.
And now he's become, you know, kind of a savior to four or five people, and it's really neat to watch. And last year was a big one, though, Kevin, because they got about 10 houses. They shovel snow. Last year, either they ponied up enough cash or somebody gave them a snowblower. They're happy as a clam. They could, like, double the amount of places they did because they had a snowblower. Like, if they were in the suburbs, they were happy as could be. But they all have regular apartments now. I mean, they're public housing, but at least they're not hanging somewhere. And it's been a big, dramatic, improvement for a few people. But it's a lot of work. I mean, drags these guys out when he knows they're home. And I'm saying there's some combination of jobs and drug programs and things like that. We need to get, we're never going to get below like 60 or 65, because that's been the number like forever. That's the people in school and other kinds of things. But there's 10 or 15 or 20 there that needs to come off that list for me to feel good about the economy. It's going to take
I think you can feel good about the economy.
No, I'm not. Yeah, wrong thing. About
to be where we want to be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that would be part of the vision that anybody should describe about, you know, how, where we want to steer this company, our country. Now, I do think one of the issues that we have to resolve, I don't think people are going to like the solution. I don't think people on either side are going to like the solutions. But we have to make the economic case for getting off of, and this will sound like I'm saying this in a pejorative sense, and I really don't mean to, but I don't know another short term, is to get off the dole, whatever the dole is. And what I mean by that is if you're collecting disability now, for example, it's, you know, it's enough to keep you, to keep you alive and functional and fed and, you know, and a roof over your head. It's not a great life, but it's a life. And so if you're doing that, and then, you know, we want you to go to work. Well, you know, if I want to put you to work for even $15 an hour, do some math. You know, you give up the disability, you get the 15, the net difference, the net of the two is what you're working to get. So if that works out to $4 an hour, $6 an hour, whatever the difference is between the two, then what's gonna motivate you to do that? You know, you're telling me I'm going to go to work 40 hours so that I can earn $4 an hour. You know, I'm not going to. So how do you create, you know, if you have to get people off of the support system, and to get them into the workforce and to get people productive, and at the same time, you have to make it worthwhile. And can you build some kind of glide path into the system? So that's what I'm saying, is anything that forces people away from public assistance tends to be a problem for the left, and anything that would continue to pay for it through some kind of transition period often tends to be a problem on the right. So what are we going to do about that?
Well, I think, he had an interesting solution to that sort of a problem was our buddy Tricky Dick. And it's, I have to admit, Kevin, I have one talent that I wish Matty and I were and I'm not the only one with it, by the way. Matty and I were talking about it on the way in. Sometime, once in a while, the people on the right have to say that the people on the left have a good idea, and once in a while, the people on the left have to say the people on the right have a good idea. If you close your mind,
I'm totally into blind squirrel theory.
Yeah, I mean, but it happens. But Tricky Dick had an idea, and this, Matty, you ever heard of this? You ever heard of the negative income tax?
Negative income tax. Yeah, it was real popular when you and I were in college. In the
I've heard about it because you've talked about it on the show before.
Well, but the idea was, and of course, the idea that people would send money to people who didn't work was an anathema to. You know, pull them up by the bootstraps. But the genius of it was, if you didn't do anything, my cousin sits on the couch and no new jack. If you did that, if you got off the couch one day to work, it wasn't like if you got off the couch one or two days, you'd lose your disability. There was a gradualness to it that made sense. So if your negative income tax, if you didn't go to work, you just sat home for whatever reason. Nobody cared what the reason was. You just sat home. You sent in your income tax. You didn't make a dime. What were they going to send you a check for, Kevin? Like $4,000 or something? Something like that. But if you got off your ass, basically, and worked one day and made $100, it wasn't like they would send you $3,900. They were going to send you like $3,950. So
So your incentive was to work because it was marginal. It was incremental income.
Right. Now, if you go through the whole routine, and this is why, I mean, I know the listeners sometimes think I'm all over the place, because I really do think all this stuff comes together. I mean, when I did the thing about a person who's making minimum wage, if he has to get a car to go there, even if it's an old junk, just paying the license fees in Illinois is his first 60 hours of work. Well, now, that stuff enters in, that tends to screw up the genius of something like the negative income tax, right, Kevin? Well, wait a minute. In order for me to go to work one day a week, I need a car. Well, hell, I'm in a hole again just because of the title taxes and gasoline tax on this thing. So you got to be careful you don't go against yourself with various parts of the government. Now, what you're talking about, Kevin, is we're paying people... and this is not a right or left. I trained me in the middle. We're paying people to not work, okay? Yet we have people, for instance, I'll pick an interesting spot, on the Illinois River that have paid whatever they pay, 12, 15, 20 cents a gallon in diesel tax for the locks in the river, and the locks have not been fixed since 1935. All right, so in theory, if you took the money from the locks and hired every lock. Somebody estimated was going to be 1.5 million hours of carpenter work. It's just carpenter work, Kevin. If you took the money that you're getting anyway, and you built the stuff you're supposed to build, you're going to drag somebody off the couch in these smaller towns, and you're going to, even for a period of 2 or 3 years while you're doing it, you're going to end up with 3 or 4 hot dog stands and restaurants, and maybe a couple of bars. I mean, you could actually spend some of this money. And instead of in cooperation with, if there is a drug problem in that area, dealing with the drug problem, of trying to get some of those people at least be helpers and so forth on these projects, it's an all encompassing thing, is what I think both of you and I are trying to say in our own way, and we're just not doing that. I don't think.
Yeah. Now, there are things that are out there in the field that might have some promise. So we don't have to have a national program. So for instance, Wisconsin has its W-2 program, and that's made a lot of inroads into the employability of its people. So any low-income parents or W-2 is Wisconsin Works, and it's a temporary cash assistance, case management to low-income. I'm reading from their website at the moment. To low-income parents and pregnant women. It's a work program for adults willing to engage in work activities. It's not an entitlement. So it's built to get people trained. And then, they have some requirements built into it, but the whole idea of it is to, while or anybody who's as an alternative to assistance is getting is getting job skills training, because job skills training is a big problem for a lot of people, especially if you're long-term poor and haven't been in the job market for a long time. Just the simple, and it's not just job skills like, you know, showing up and being reliable and all of that. It is, you know, how you interact with people while you're at work and a laundry list of things like that that are really important to people. So, you know, I think if we are willing to allow some of these, you know, for lack of a better word, experiments or incubators to move, we might get some idea of how to accomplish some of this stuff. Whether negative income tax is part of that or not, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, I was not a huge fan of that, Kevin, although the simplicity of it,
there's a lot to like about it.
But it comes from, amazingly enough, following up, before Tricky Dick, and the reason why one of the reasons why he did this, or proposed it, was because the Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty. And there's, and I could be wrong here. Maybe, why don't you Google this? War on Poverty programs. I'm going to say the only program left from the war on poverty is Head Start. And I think I'm right there, but maybe somebody can tweet in some esoteric program.
I'm pretty sure the war on poverty, lost.
Well, but I'm saying, Nixon looked at that, and he said, "Okay, why don't we just figure out how many people are in poverty, and divide that in the amount of money we spent on the war on poverty, and send them a check? And by definition, we wouldn't have had any poverty. So that's essentially was the birth of the negative income tax."
Yeah, and you know what? Again, part of the general psyche of this country is that we're more than willing to help. I think we underrate that inclination in people. When we help, we want to say, here's exactly how we want to help. Here's exactly how you're going to spend the money. I do understand that. I understand why people would feel that way. They don't want it wasted. They don't want to spend on drugs. There's a lot of things like that. But in the end, that overhead undermines the effectiveness of the program.
Well, I'm going to take a shot, not at you, but a shot at the right. One of the big issues with the right is somehow or another they have selective memory and are absolutely convinced that they did it all on their own. And I'm going to say, in this country, virtually nobody did it all on their own. When I say that, I mean...
Come on, say it, Tom. You didn't build that.
Right. Well, I don't know. No, my point is, remember when Tom Foley came and gave a talk at the SIBO, he was talking about Tip O'Neill and how Tip was absolutely fearless. And he got along with everybody, and he'd have a drink with anybody, and he had the big nose to show it. He said he went to give a speech at some place where it was like 95% amazingly, blue blood Republican. And he walked in and they were all on him, and he was promoting some program, and he said, it's hard for me in a room like this where all you guys have pulled yourself up from your bootstraps, you do this and that, and never took a thing from government. Yeah, here, and a beer glass are going up and down like Munich, for God's sake. And he says, by the way, how many of you guys were on the GI Bill? Like 80% of the hands went up, and it was like one other thing that the hands went up. And the one thing I will say, Kevin, is that about a lot of my friends, and not you or Lou, because you guys are not really the incredible right wingers that don't like anybody that I run into from time to time. They're absolutely convinced that there's no such thing as welfare for the rich. And the fact is, the rich get more welfare than the poor in this country. I mean, there's no
actually, the staunchest conservatives I know are very put off by welfare for the rich in its various forms, or corporate welfare and all of those kinds of things. That's the real hardcore conservatives. But more to the point, I do want to throw in on GI Bill. I get that a lot of people got the GI Bill. To me, that was compensation. That was sort of part of the pay for being in the military, because you certainly don't get a ton of cash for it. And there's a difference between compensation and entitlement programs.
Single biggest,
other types of.
I'm going to say, Kevin, single biggest program. Maybe it was not intended as such. Single biggest program in the history of the world. It caused class mobility. Single biggest. And I don't think anybody can debate me on that.
Right, and the GI Bill got you what? The access to education, correct?
It got you from neighborhoods where nobody ever went to school. They all were drafted, and all of a sudden those guys went to school, and they're wearing a suit to work, and they're accountant instead of working in a ditch. Everybody else in their neighborhood still was. It's the single biggest class movement.
So what does that
tell
you about our education system as it stands?
Well,
the GI Bill is not going to do a darn thing. It's not going to do a darn thing because most for people who are not prepared to go to college.
But you think those people were?
Or frankly, to have the skills for a trade school.
I'm saying that when people came out of high school, and we've had this discussion before, my uncles never went to high school, or never finished high school. I think my mother was the first one who did. They were voracious readers, knew how to spell, could read drawings, and were very good at math. I mean, obviously, we taught people different things. Now, I can't imagine them doing multiplication tables at 25, so they must have learned it somewhere along the line. I mean,
right, because I think there was a time we would actually educate people have all the important basic skills, and we'd get them in the primary grades.
Right, exactly right. And so
now we have an education system that that's letting people down in the primary grades, and as a result, we don't prepare people for. Really to be productive citizens.
Well, that's right. I mean, you talk to Eric, he says, I spend the first 4 weeks in class of creative writing in college telling people how to punctuate. You know, I mean,
I do it in management class.
Yeah, it's a...
I have a grammar section in every single class I have. It's called Grammar Fun, and we poke fun at all of the very public mistakes people make. And my whole point of it is I want you guys to start recognizing this in your writing so that you'll fix it.
Well, but, hey, you know what? Eric did tell me, I'm surprised at this. I mean, I've never written a book. I said, how many times do you have to read it, proofread it? And he said, what I found out is if I read it out loud, which it takes forever for in a book, by the way, because if I read it out loud, any sentence that doesn't sound right really comes out like a beacon. If you actually talk it rather than just read it, your eyes go over it. You might miss
it
the third time. Anyway, so Kevin, these are somewhat big issues, and yet we're taking big economic shots here. Now, I read yesterday one of the reasons why the market was down so much during the day is we got Goldman or Morgan Stanley, one of the two, came out and was talking about this China war is going to be a 10-year deal. So my hope that all we're going to declare victory in the next week or two. Obviously, now people are thinking that that's but a pipe dream, and I still think that these guys might want to do that. But now they're saying this is reaching new heights. That what's his name, Pence, coming out and saying that they're anti U.S. because they want to change the president, running out and tell that to Trump's backwoods supporters. They want to start a war tomorrow with these guys. I mean, come on. I mean, do we really have to do all this stuff? I mean. So in other words, if this thing starts to last and these interest rates keep creeping up, the market's somewhat in trouble because all these things move together, Kevin. And you talk about the punctuation. When I was in the difference in what you learned in grad school when interest rates were 8, 10, 12% and what you learn now, I mean, it's there were some really pretty bright people on CNBC yesterday talking about are interest rates gonna hurt housing or in something else. And I'm like, for God's sake. If you're making 100 grand a year off a piece of property, interest rates are 3%. I mean, the thing is worth, the 10%, it's worth $1 million. If it's worth 5%, it's worth $2 million. So if you go from 3 to 4%, the price of a place damn near goes down 20 to 25%, right? If you're just looking at how much income you're going to make off it. I mean, it's not even close.
Hey, time to call the loan, huh?
Well, yeah. But so I'm saying, I don't know that people are conversant with what the world is going to look like under a normal interest rate structure. I mean, what I consider to be normal.
Are you saying, going back to our original theme, that not only are schools failing to prepare people for the world of work that we also have a problem with our pseudo intellectuals not being prepared.
No, I think it. You know what it is
for basic economic understanding.
I'll take a shot at it. When I was at Notre Dame, for whatever reason, I was in pre-med freshman year, and you had to take this calculus. And I got to the point where I don't know how many people took the test freshman year. I'm going to say 300-400, and I was like in the top 10. Kevin, there was nothing in my life has caused me to look at calculus again since then. You could show me a calculus problem, and I'd swear you were showing me something in Greek. If there's no reinforcement, I'm sure people learned what interest rates do to fixed assets and things. But when you come out of there and you're out of school 9 years, the interest rates have been zero for 9 years. What possessed you to ever even, you know, like remember it or feel it? You have to feel it for it to happen. You have to buy a condo like Robin and I did. We were paying 8% and we bought it, and 4 months later we were paying 12.5%. You have to feel it to know it. You know what I'm saying? To a certain extent. And I don't see how why anybody would even dream of that. It's been out of school 10 years. Would you? I mean, so I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying it's just not there in the blood. S&P futures up 175. Dow futures up 22. NASDAQ futures down 1. Waiting for the employment numbers. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Blown up by Stocks and Jocks. Time to mount Mr. Miller on the board, Mr. Kevin O'Neill. We have what used to be, we used to always have these days on before the number is made, and not so much lately. We actually had some movement, but today not so. SP Futures up a buck. Dow Futures up 22, NASDAQ Futures down 5. Oil up a dime, 74.49. 10-year yield, 3.20. That's what caused some of the trouble in the market yesterday. I think Fari thinks 3.4. We might stop there for a while. We'll see. DAX down 66.5. FTSE down 36.5. CAC around down 17.3. So they're the relative stalwart over there. Nikkei down 191.8%. Shanghai is still closed for the holiday. Hang Seng down 51.2%, 26,572. So bad week in the Hang Seng. So when Shanghai opens Monday, if we don't have a reasonable bounce back today someplace, I gotta believe those guys open down a bunch. We will see that on Monday. Like I said, up a dime. Brent down 31 cents. So not much going on there. Natural gas, 3.19, continues to rack it up. This is 50 cents. It's almost 20% in a month and a half. Kevin, have you heard about the Farmer's Almanac saying we have an ice age this winter or something? Or what is going on with this natural gas? I've been looking.
I haven't heard a thing.
Oh, and I'm just glad we don't have any clients that are shorted, for God's sake. That's a massive contract. The gold up 490, 1206. Silver up 7 cents, 1466. Manny, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a slow start this morning due to the rainy conditions throughout the area, and that's causing slow travel times on the Edens and Kennedy. Traffic building on the Eisenhower and Stevenson as well. Same with the Southside expressways. Usually Friday mornings are relatively quiet at this hour, but the rain has caused everyone to travel a little slower, so give yourself plenty of time as you head out this morning. Be sure to grab an umbrella. As far as accidents are concerned, we have a crash on the Tri-State southbound just before Toohey that's causing stop and go traffic there in the northwestern suburbs. Also on the Eisenhower I-290 westbound just before York Road in the western burbs out near Elmhurst in that area, there's an overturned vehicle, a rollover in the ditch on westbound I-290. That's the outbound side just before York, so keep that in mind if you're heading out to the western suburbs. One other area in the western burbs, LaGrange Road between Ogden and Woodlawn Avenue, there's a road block due to an overturned vehicle. So LaGrange is closed between Ogden and Woodlawn because of that rollover.
Speed limit there is like 35.
Yeah,
a rollover vehicle.
Crews are on the scene working to get that cleared up so LaGrange Road can reopen. One issue in the city, Lakeshore Drive, northbound just before Irving Park Road, there's a tire on the road that's causing delays as folks navigate around that. Crews are getting that picked up, but Monroe to Hollywood is about 24 minutes right now and growing, so expect some delays heading northbound on Lakeshore Drive.
Well, you got to ask the question, how far did the guy make it with only three tires?
I wouldn't think very far. Weather today, rain on and off throughout the day, cloudy skies, a high of 66. Right now it's rainy and 56 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, another beautiful day, sunshine, a high of 85. Right now it's clear and 68. In sports, Blackhawks are underway in the 2018-2019 hockey season, and they got off to a good start, beating Ottawa on the road. 4-3 was the final in overtime. Patrick Kane scored the game winner, assisted by Jonathan Toews. A couple of familiar names there. Coyotes lost their opener. They were shut out by Dallas 3-0. Major League Baseball playoffs. The division series are underway in the National League. Brewers are up 1-0. They beat the Rockies 3-2. Dodgers shut out the Braves 6-0 to go up 1-0 in their series. American League playoffs begin tonight at the division series. Thursday night football last night, it was the Patriots all over the Colts 38-24. Chief.
I'm just watching some of these. You know, Kevin, one of the things the things about Congress, and I think these guys are, there's a lot of women there, so it's not just like there's guys, but don't they get the world they're in? I mean, according to Bloomberg this morning, this can't be true. 100 senators have to share a single copy of the FBI's report. Now, just putting that out there, even in the remote chance it can be true. Yeah, fake news.
Yeah, Tom, I'm getting you really faint.
All right, am I that better? I'm a little bit away. I was reading this thing
that's
in Bloomberg,
sir.
Could that even remotely? What does that make the place look like to the rest of the country? If it is even remotely true that they're all scrambling through one copy of a report, I can't be true. But if it is, just the thought that
it's true.
How could that be?
It's true that it's because they don't want the report copied and leaked.
Okay. Well, then why does the vote have to be today? It's why shouldn't it be? What do you mean by leaked? It's a report that why isn't it public anyway? Or some of it?
No, it's a bunch of the what are they, 502s, 503s, whatever that is. That's really all it is a bunch of interviews and interview transcripts, and they never want to make those public. I mean, the FBI doesn't. You know, it's not a matter of the FBI reporting it to Congress. This is something that the FBI, as a matter of routine, doesn't do because. It's just raw. It's kind of raw data, not synthesized in any way, and it's sort of, you know, protection of sources and some of the commentary that goes with that. That's long standing, and the fact that when Congress gets it, they have to go read it. It's a single copy. That's an Obama era policy that they started. You know, it was like the similar thing that they had to do with the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
All right, so somebody can grab it.
The same kind of thing.
So this is what's happened.
It's Obama era. It was something that that he put through with who was the majority leader before Schumer?
The guy from Nevada, Harry Reid.
Oh, Harry Reid. Yeah, it was something he and Harry Reid put through and it's Senate rules.
Yeah, but
they changed Senate rules.
But somebody this is a thing, though, that somebody could grab it, run to the Senate, and read it into the record, though. That's happened a couple times, right?
I don't know if this particular report.
Something on this level. If a listener remembers that, please tweet us in because, yeah, somebody. And it happened again a few weeks ago on something smaller.
Oh, yeah, that was, Booker and, what's her name? Harris. Deciding that they would read things into the record contrary to the
But there, during the Obama years, one of the Republicans did it. Grabbed something and read it into the record.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I'm not saying you're wrong.
Well, anyway, it just still seems a tad odd. Anyway, so that's going on. In Chicago, we've got the big news here, Kevin. And this is, by the way, Maddie, you probably know more about this than me. Everybody downtown was getting all kinds of memos yesterday from their buildings with this Laquan McDonald case. If this thing gets decided this weekend, it's a marathon weekend. So, the last thing everybody wants is a million riots. And the judge snuck one in there yesterday, Kevin. Two things weird happened yesterday. They said, okay, you guys can decide it's second-degree murder instead of first, which is kind of late in the game for that. I'm not a lawyer, but also they dismissed a juror last night that was going to vote guilty. And he went on an interview, and then he walked out. Yeah, I was going to vote guilty, and they dismissed me. What the hell is that all about?
Why did they dismiss him?
I was listening on the radio. He was heavily Hispanic accent. I could barely understand him, but I missed that piece of the puzzle. Maybe if you could dig that up, but something weird. This thing's crazy, and It's a tough one for juries.
So the headline, I haven't read this, but the headline says two alternate jurors in the Van Dyke trial say they would have voted guilty.
Okay, so they booted out the alternate guys.
That's the headline. Let me read the article, and I'll get back to you here in a minute. But that's the headline. So I assume that that's what you're talking about, is two alternate jurors.
Well, the thing was so garbled on the radio, I didn't get the alternate part. That's why I was fishing around for the facts. Just the facts, man. Who was that?
Yeah, those are always hard to find nowadays.
Yeah, who was that? Just the facts.
I don't know. Who was that?
Dragnet.
Oh, okay.
What's his name? Sergeant Friday. Just the facts, man. Just the facts. And I don't think you can get away with doing that now. Can you imagine doing that in front of Congress? Just the facts? The guy'd stop talking. Whoever it was.
Yeah, if you want to get a laugh from 100 people in the Senate, yeah.
All right, Kevin, how the hell is this guy from Clemson? Let's talk about some more fun stuff. How's this guy from Clemson, who was allegedly out from the year with a head blow last week, starting tomorrow?
The it's quarterback. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Modern medicine?
Maybe they over-diagnosed it in the first place.
That
maybe
could
the
be.
Preliminary diagnosis and the actual diagnosis didn't converge. I would assume they would not take a huge risk with the guy.
No, I don't. I would think not.
I'd like to believe that. And frankly, if nowadays, I don't think they could get away with it.
You certainly couldn't in pro. You probably can in college still. who knows? But anyway, along those lines, we had Thomas in the other day talking about the fantasy stuff, and he's going to come back next week with a report on who the companies are they public and those kinds of things. I haven't heard much about the betting after New Jersey legalized it. It hasn't been the watershed event where like 50 states are doing it already. Has anybody followed New Jersey? In other words, it hasn't gone.
I know Delaware has.
That's right. Delaware
hasn't made a big deal out of it. So let's put it that way, and I don't think you're not going to see a lot of publicity out of the sports leagues at any level, because that isn't what they want at the moment, and you may even see more ability to suppress it. It's harder in the pro markets. But in the college markets, it is really easy to squash stories because if you're working in a college town, access is everything. And if you lose your access, you don't have a job.
Kevin, this is America. You're saying if they write an article, they don't like, they're not going to let you back in? This is the land of the free.
You can get frozen out informally, and you can get very ostracized almost formally.
The land of the free, home of the brave.
For example, you can take the South Bend market. I'm not saying this is happening.
I'm not saying.
I have my suspicions, but if you want to be a successful writer in the South Bend market, then you have to be able to sit down with the coach or get sit down interviews with the players or all of those kinds of things. So you may have your access because you have a media credential that's not going to be unfairly denied, and you can go in, and do post game interviews and all that kind of stuff. But if you want to be the guy getting the sit down interviews with the coach, then you better be in good favor.
What was the song in Top? Was it Top Gun? I don't know, but it's been said, that kind of thing.
Yeah, could be. You get the point. If it's the only show in town, then and that would be the case in Chicago too. If the only thing that were there were the Chicago Bears, as an example, then you can't make a living as a sports writer if you can't cover the Chicago Bears.
Well, but you can. You can be a radio guy here in Chicago and talk about him, but you never go see him because enough people are interviewing him. You can just criticize everybody else's interviews.
That's certainly the radio model. Is you have your beat reporters that actually have to face the guys every day, and they're typically more accommodating and more open to different points of view. And then you have the hosts who never have to face them, and they just rip them. That's the Chicago model.
See how much nicer Maddie
is
than
well,
me?
and it's kind of true. I don't think, it's the same people in the college model. These markets, and a market like South Bend isn't big enough to have radio personalities who are different from the people who are writing for the newspapers or other publications.
So you're saying that the beat writers for lack of a better term, have their head up the behind of the team, and the other guys are free to talk otherwise, or you don't get in?
You know, I think you walk a fine line.
Okay.
And, you know, I sort of live that because I'm pretty critical of a lot of things Notre Dame, and yet, you know, I'm not critical of Mike Bray, so, you know, I don't do sit-down interviews anyway. I don't have time to arrange them and do them, but I'm certainly not frozen out. I'm certainly not ignored when it's time for questions to be asked and answered. And with the sports information people, I'm on reasonably good terms. So, but they don't like a lot of what goes on the website, a lot of the criticism there, and they probably don't like some of the things that I say. In fact, I've been cold-shouldered by a couple of people in the sports information department, not any coaches, but people in the sports information department in the past. So, you know, it happens. But it's just a different environment. It's a very, you know, it's weird. It's a weird place to be, to try to be a journalist. Let's put it that way.
Well, I guess I have a lot of questions about sort of where this is headed. And since the show is entitled Stocks and Jacks, there doesn't appear to me so far with the two states that have come out that there's a pattern in essentially who gets the business. So it's not like if you thought Illinois was going to vote it tomorrow, I would recommend people buy Harris or something like that, because it's not obvious to me that the casinos are going to get the betting. Or I wouldn't necessarily. What's the name of the group that owns Arlington Park? Is it Louisville Downs? Louisville something something Corp or maybe figure out who owns. I mean, if I thought the racetracks were going to get it, I might say, boy, I might want to put some of my clients in. In that stock, but it's not obvious to me.
Churchill Downs Incorporated.
Right. And it was somewhere from Kentucky. So it's not obvious to me who's going to be the beneficiary of this, or it just might go to the state. I mean, what about the off-track betting? Is any big hotel, if you're big enough, which is always seems to be the, you know, the thing, or if you got a big, huge sports bar, can you get a window on the sports bar? And do you want to be, what's the Buffalo Wild Wings? Are they going to pay up and have one on every one of their? I mean, it's not obvious who's going to get it. Plus, it's also not obvious with New Jersey and Delaware with basically bleep teams. I mean, the only team there of any consequence is what? Rutgers?
So what I'm seeing here right now is Nevada, New Jersey, and Delaware are fully legal at this point. Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Mississippi are the next closest ones to being fully
right,
legal,
so
but
Nevada's,
they're not fully there yet.
Okay, Nevada's all casino, correct?
I mean, they have satellite sports books everywhere.
Okay, but
I assume they're the same licensing as the casinos.
Right, so they gave every casino
but they have them in
satellite.
Like bars and restaurants and all over Vegas.
All right, but if you own one in a bar, there's actually a window in a bar?
There's different companies. One of them I was at called, I think it was called William and Call or something like that. It's a satellite sports book, that I assume is operated, owned by one of the casinos, but they are spread out, throughout. You know, some of them are in casinos, some are in restaurants, some are in bars, and it's a window where you can put sports bets.
I gotta believe.
And you can cash your ticket at any one of their windows all throughout Vegas.
Right, so I gotta believe that if you go up there, you're getting the line from the Golden Nugget or Caesars or something.
I would assume so, yeah.
Okay, so, but Nevada still, you can't bet on the UNLV, correct?
I assume that's still true. I don't know.
New Jersey, can you bet on Rutgers?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of...
But in New Jersey, if you live in North Jersey and you follow all the New York teams, can you bet on them? And if you live in South Jersey and you follow the Philadelphia teams,
well, that's,
can
I know,
you bet
yeah.
on them?
I know in Vegas you can bet on the Golden Knights.
Okay, so they made an exception for hockey.
Well, not just hockey, but when the Raiders get there, you can bet on the Raiders.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if you can bet on UNLV now.
That's what I'm asking. So in other words, if in Alabama, if you open up stuff, obviously everybody's going to want to bet on Alabama. So is somebody going to walk into Nick Saban and say, hey, bleep, you got to let us know who the quarterback is before the game because half the state's betting at it. Or you got to give us an injury report. I mean, it seems like there's a few details in this.
I think the people most likely to be doing that have been betting all along, Tom.
Okay.
Well, that's true. But yeah. But now that it's formalized, do you have to have a formalized injury report process like you have in the NFL?
Actually,
I wonder.
I actually know a guy, a group from not any kind of saloon that Maddie and I have ever been in. Or they never sponsored our softball team or anything. They were masters at this, getting this information out of various places regarding injuries and so forth, and would never, they would never bet the team so much, Kevin. Rarely, they would use it to bet the over-under. If a safety and a linebacker were out on each team that were good ball players and nobody knew about it, they'd bet the over. And I think they did pretty well doing that. I mean, I didn't win every game or anything, but they found that they did better with the over-under than they did with the game itself, which is
important. I could see how they would, and that way you don't have to you don't have to try and influence the outcome of the game.
If you know a quarterback's hurt, that nobody seems to know, except a coach and a few people, then you take the under.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
So, I mean, it appears that, do you think it's going to be every state's different, Manny? And that we land, you know, one state goes through the casino, one goes, I mean, I think that's...
Yes, I do think every state will be different.
Are you
a lot of states don't have a casino infrastructure.
That's true.
And so if they want to participate, they'll either have to get one or they'll do it their own way.
Well, are you guys, I don't know why, but I'm absolutely stunned that all these video poker games, and I should have known this, but I just assumed when they started landing in this, in these restaurants and bars a few years ago here in Chicago, that somewhere, somebody would be tied into a casino. They're not. The state runs them. I mean, I guess I should have expected that, but the state has essentially become the casino, which,
They're tied directly into the lottery, essentially, right? The state-run lottery.
Well, no,
it's under the same roof.
It's under the same roof. Yeah,
but that's what I mean.
But I never dreamed that they would actually become the casino. I mean, essentially, they're competing now against. So Harris pays all this money. They're in Joliet, and the state sprinkles 500 video poker games in bars within 10 miles of the casino. Well, what the bleep? What did you pay for to get the license at Harris, for God's sake? Right? I mean, I hope that they're still doing okay, but you understand where I'm coming from.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, state's looking for they're not looking out for an industry. They're looking out for their next, its next, revenue, short-term revenue hit. You would think that long-term that, all you'd be doing is moving the video poker revenue from one site to another, but this way the state gets to take a larger percentage of it, I'm sure, than the normal gaming percentage, and that's what they're doing, and that's the kind of business decision you make when you're desperate for cash.
Well, the idea,
what if the state did that to every industry? Like they sell you your restaurant and liquor license, and then across the street, the state opens a restaurant and bar.
But you know who's done that, Manny?
Or just a liquor store,
right?
A discount liquor store.
But businesses have done that. Businesses, I mean, big business. My cousin had a at one time. Remember Ameritech, which was the old was Illinois Bell, right, Kevin?
Yeah, it was part of the old Bell system.
And, when Ameritech at one point they became essentially Verizon. Okay, they had the single biggest.
They became AT&T.
I think they're Verizon, but I'm not positive, Kevin. We have to look because Verizon's got like half of them, and AT&T's got the other half, right? With the little bells.
Yeah, Verizon was somebody else. I have to look it up.
Okay, but anyway, so my cousin had, I'm going to say, the single biggest franchise for back in the day, what were known as car phones. He was on Ogden Avenue, right across from all the big shot, you know, the Mercedes's and the BMWs, all those guys right across the street. Literally, guys would drive their car out of the place without even going home. They'd drive to his place to get the car phone put in. He had three garages, three bays, putting car phones in, not 24 hours a day, but 12 hours a day. All these guys were franchises. Meritech was making a fortune. Finally, some nerd with milk bottle glasses said to Meritech, by the way, these guys, you shouldn't have franchises. We should grab these things. So they started putting out their own stores, and then they were giving the phones first to their own stores and basically screwing their franchisees and put them all out of business. So they realized, so it's like the state. Let's get a casino and just skim 10% off the top. And all of a sudden, well, you know, these guys are making another 10%. We deserve the other 10%. I mean, half of the people who have proposed a downtown casino, Maddie and Kevin, I don't know if you guys have seen it, fine print, propose that to be a state-owned or city-owned casino.
You imagine the crooks in this city owning a casino? Talk about putting a fox in charge of the hen house. I mean, for God's sake. But that's what they, so it's not, I mean, McDonald's, in our lifetime, Kevin, how many times has McDonald's gone from, we want everybody to be a franchisee, we just want our piece and guide the place, to my God, these guys are making too much money, we want to have half of them company owned. I bet that's happened 4 or 5 times since I've had a McDonald's burger, which had to be 50 years ago. Am I right or wrong on that? They push the franchises and they don't want the franchises, right?
By the way, it appears that Kevin was right. The Ameritech Chicago-based Bell Operating Company was acquired by the parent of Southwestern Bell, which was acquired by AT&T.
Okay. It was one way or the other, because Verizon got...
Verizon was Bell Atlantic.
That's right. That's right. But they got somebody around here. Was it Bell Wisconsin or Bell Indiana? Or they were grabbing them ball up for a while. Or did they buy Lucent? They bought something. Lucent went to the guys there.
You know, it may have gone Verizon, or it may have gone Ameritech to Lucent, too.
You know what? Lucent got bought by the guys in Europe. Lucent got bought by Europe.
I remember being an Ameritech customer. In fact, thanks to Ameritech, I sat in a really nice suite for the first game at Miller Park.
Really? Good for you.
Very nice.
Yeah.
SP futures up a buck and a half. Dow futures up 25.
I'll talk about that after the break.
Yeah, NASDAQ futures down 3.
Not that Kevin was open to taking bribes.
No. It's just a little something. Well, you got to wet your beak. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Matt Weber, Mr. Kevin O'Neill. S&P Futures unchanged. Dow Futures up 12, NASDAQ down 11 again. We've got employment numbers coming out in a half hour. And again, these are numbers. There's months and then there's months. This is one of those other kind of months where the people are like, if wage growth shows to be a little hot, it's going to make the bonds go up even or down. Interest rates go up even more. And it's going to have a problem with the market. So people are, I'd say, watching these a little bit more than they normally do. Hey, Kevin, did you see the quote one of our guys brought up from Bobby Hull yesterday? It was pretty interesting.
I think I did. Bring it back to me.
By the way, in my hockey experience,
is getting as bad as my.
I'm sure there's other players before or since that were better than Bobby Hull, but I'll tell you this. Before he hurt his knee banging into the post the one time, I don't think there was ever a game changer on the ice. When that guy came on, the whole place went electric like that guy. I mean, he was the fastest guy, the biggest guy, the strongest guy, the best shot. I don't know.
Maybe, and he had designated shadows all the time.
Yeah, they just would hang on him.
As soon as Hull came onto the ice, that someone like a Derek Sanderson would jump on the ice too, and his job was to hang on Hull.
Yep. When you're absolutely positively sure you know everything there is to know about anything, you're as far away from the truth as you ever will be.
Yeah, that's.
Is that about the? Does that say a lot, isn't it, Manny?
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you what, we had one of the listeners and actually a good friend regarding this McDonald thing, and I just goes to show you how people can look at things differently. I mean, I'm going to say that just about anybody who watches that tape is somewhere between somewhat and totally. Repulsed by it, yet the charge until yesterday was first degree murder, which is, you know, a pretty stringent charge. And so this fellow says, well, you know, as bad as it looked, if he was justified in lobbing out shots one and two, and you don't know if those two shots killed the guy and they were justified, the other rest of them as bad as they looked and as horrible as it is, don't really constitute murder. Murder, more of an excessive force, and get him off the police force and get him away from anything like that. But it's, if he was justified in firing the first one, and, you know, I don't really buy that argument, but there's something to it. I mean, it's something I hadn't thought of. Let's put it that way. I don't really buy it, but,
I certainly understand why a defense attorney would make it an argument.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, that's why you have juries and why I'm glad I'm not on the darn thing. But, Kevin, it is.
Hey, before we leave Miller Park,
finish your story.
It's really one of the cool features of the ballpark, and I don't think, and if you haven't been there, you don't know this. So, you know, I got invited, like, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. hey, we had a cancellation. You want to come? I would never. And as you said, am I above a bribe? I would absolutely would have turned it down if we had any kind of contract negotiation going on with them. But that's a separate issue. The what they have is right above the 100 level at Miller Park. There is a level of suites, and so they're kind of if you think of the aisle where people walk behind the box seats, then just raise it up about 5 feet, and there are suites all the way around the ballpark. On top of the suites is the 200 level built right on top of them, and then there is another section of suites between the 200 level and the 300 level. Well, one of the objections always with these ballpark suites is that you're so far away from the action you're just there basically for the social aspect of it, and you can't really watch the game. Well, in this particular case, not only can you watch the game, you have practically a box seat view if you're in those luxury suites.
Well, the Wrigley's like that, and old Comiskey, if you tumble out of there drunk, you landed on the field damn near. Because it was the upper deck,
get the idea that it's a really really nice nice section for sitting. And in that case, I told her, I said, you know if I go, I'm going to watch the ball game. So immediately my sales rep introduced me to her husband, who is also a baseball junkie, and he was there. And so the two, while everybody else was inside socializing, her husband and I were out there watching baseball together.
Well, that's
for those that haven't been to Miller Park, it is a great stadium, in my opinion. I think it's a terrific stadium. The retractable roof is a great feature, and I wish every stadium had a retractable roof. And it's a good place to watch a game, and their food is good, and they serve Miller products, which I prefer over Bud products.
Me too.
That they're a sponsor, because they're not. They should be.
Yeah.
So Miller Park, worth the trip.
The skybox at the ones at the old Yankee Stadium, you actually were behind the grandstand. So it was not – the term skybox was – you weren't in the sky. You were behind – that's probably the reason why there's a new Yankee Stadium. The next to the dictionary, Kevin, if you look at the term economic obsolescence, you know what the definition is, don't you?
Old ballpark?
Not enough skyboxes.
Oh, not enough suites. Okay.
But
you get the idea. And Matt is absolutely right. There are some things, there are some compromises you make to have the roof. For a ballpark with a roof that is as well done as it possibly can be.
Well, and
it really is nice to go to a game, buy tickets for a game knowing there will be a game no matter what. And it is nice to know that you can buy tickets for an early season or late season game and know you're going to be comfortable.
Well, it's also the newer places. If you go to the one in Arizona, it might as well not be a roof. I mean, it's nice that they can close it when it's 100 degrees, and they only cool it down to like 85, though.
Stadium is a horrible place to watch a game, whereas Miller Park is a great game. I think a great place. I think it's because of all the windows Miller Park has.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Whoever the first
Arizona park, it's like a dungeon. It's awful. And it's hot in there even when the roof's closed. Feels like it's 85 degrees.
Well, the Astrodome used to cool it down to 72. I think they cool it to maybe 85.
Yeah, it's like you might as well just open it. I'd rather sit outside and breathe outside air in 95 as opposed to be in this dungeon at 85.
But there's no... It's like the old Dallas Cowboys Stadium where that little hole in the roof essentially closes. Because nothing comes down at the end. Like the new Dallas Stadium... The whole ends come down, so we actually can get a breeze through the place, right? And Miller Park's the same way, and so is the one in Houston.
Sure, and in Miller Park, you can close the roof and leave the windows open and get the breeze through, unless it's the kind of rain that says, well, that's just going to get everybody wet, so then they close it all together.
Still, I'm going to say Wrigley Field, I've driven by Fenway, I've never been in there. Wrigley Field is probably the only stadium left. I'm going to go on a limb and say it is the only stadium left where the back wall is not solid, that you actually get air through the stands.
And that's why the wind in Wrigley is much more important, especially blowing out, than any other park.
I think that is true. I've been to Fenway, and I don't think that's the case even at Fenway.
Because, like, if you go to, like, Sox Park now, whatever is guaranteed rate field, the wind can be blowing out. It probably helps a little bit, but you don't even notice it in the stands. It's not like it's running by you, and it's a, you know, the pitcher cannot feel it in his face, let's put it that way, because there's a huge wall there. It's just sort of different. But so right now, I don't think there's what about the guys Thomas was talking about, just to shift back. Are you think FanDuel and these other guys are going to any piece of this? Either of you guys? It's FanDuel. Who's the other guys?
DraftKings.
Well, now they obviously feel
they're. I think they're already getting a piece of it.
Well, they're getting a piece of the fantasy, but is any state going to license them to do the betting for them? I'm guessing.
I think. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if they need a state to license them to do the betting.
I
think that they're already have the infrastructure in place that they're working toward being a national app. That's maybe only available, or I don't know how you regulate that. To be honest,
well, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure that
when you put your credit card in, if you're in a state that's legal, then they accept your money, and then
Now we're back to the
they'd have to geolocate you, and that's doable to a point, but it's beatable if you just go get subscribe to a VPN.
Yeah,
exactly. That's why I'm wondering if it goes by your, you have to deposit money somehow, and I wonder if it goes by your billing address and or something. It's got to be from a legal state.
I'm gonna guess. Just guess.
Yeah, but what if I'm traveling and I am in a legal state? Then what?
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, all right. So I'm saying these are all details. That's why I'm dying to find out what they're going to do so I can make a trade here. And because I'd love to put me and my gang into a. Into a place that nobody knows about that all of a sudden 5 years from now is 10 times higher but I'm going to guess that the state of Delaware has zero intention of letting the people in Delaware go on a line and make the bet out of state. Now, whether they can pull that off or not, I don't know, but I guarantee it's not their intention unless there's a way they get taxed.
I think the people who are really in position and who are really want to make this work well are going to be the sports leagues themselves.
All right. But they're not concerned.
They're going to want their piece of it, and they will get it.
Adam Silver of the NBA has basically already made that clear. Like, we're all for it, but we're going to get a piece of it, and we're going to be heavily involved.
Well, it's sort of interesting, but I mean, it's not interesting that it's his opinion, but it hasn't happened yet. And I don't know. I mean, how much of the sports gambling does basketball get?
Not nearly as much as football, but a lot more than baseball.
They do? Okay.
Oh, yeah. A lot more than hockey, just not as much as football.
All right, so, I mean, offshore. Or in Vegas, I think they do get better.
Vegas and offshore.
In Vegas, a lot of people like the second half bets. That much I know.
Oh, yeah, you can do quarter bets. You can do half bets. You can do live betting where they'll give you odds, live currently. The Warriors lead the Cavs by 8. There's 12 minutes left. Warriors are favored, minus 260. And then with every basket, the odds change. And as the clock moves, the odds change. It's crazy the amount of betting you can do on these offshore apps.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now who is the offshore stuff is still illegal, correct? Allegedly.
Yes.
But they're not.
But it's so unenforced, it makes you wonder if the U.S. government's getting a piece of it or something. Some of these places have been up and running for years now, interruption.
But how is it that they? Well, the one guy they arrested when he landed here. Remember, he ran the offshore thing, and where did he land? Was it Love Field in Dallas? Kevin and I were waiting for him, put him in jail because they said he owed all these taxes. He's supposed to be paying 10% to somebody. But I mean, the federal government has been successful. Not that I know this. Let's put it this way: Jeff Sessions has been successful at essentially tying up. Well, trying to tie up the marijuana business by essentially not letting it go anywhere through the banking system. There's no way you're walking in and charging your marijuana on your credit card. That ain't happening. So if they wanted to tie these guys up, they could. Right? Just by money changing. You can't pay cash.
I'm sure they could, yeah.
And for a while, they were doing that, weren't they?
But when you put $200 on your betting account, not that I've ever done this.
No.
And
you've heard Thomas did it.
Yes, and you give him your credit card. When that on your bank statement, it's like a different weird shell company every time. that pops up.
I'm going to guess, Maddie, not giving away what Maddie does for a real living, I'm going to guess if they hired your company, in a week you'd find them all.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I don't doubt that. But, you know.
Yeah, in fact, the only reason Matt knows anything about this is because of business-related research.
Of course.
And, yes. because of Thomas.
Right, and because of Thomas, which is also research of a different kind.
Yes, research of a different kind. By the way, he was good last on Tuesday.
I heard that, which is great.
Yeah. Well, he knows that stuff.
I didn't expect less.
Wait, you get him talking about fantasy sports, he's going to talk about his team, which is kind of annoying, but he does know his stuff.
He does. Oh, so what happens, I guess he was saying that if you had Trubisky last week, you're a winner everywhere.
Well, yeah, he had a perfect game. He had a perfect QB rating, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. He also rushed for 50-some yards on 3 carries. And he had a high completion percentage. Those aren't all fantasy metrics, but just by way of quarterback play, he essentially had a perfect game. In fantasy, in our league's standard scoring format, he put up like 44 points, which is one of the highest totals of the season.
So if, from what Thomas was explaining, you can bet on that night's or any individual game if you want, right? You're really into this.
So, there's a difference between a standard fantasy league, which you play with, you know, 10 or 12 of your buddies, and you put in money at the beginning of the season, and it lasts all season long, and then the winner gets the pot. That's the standard fantasy league, but they've, you know, DraftKings and FanDuel have blown up daily fantasy for people that like to gamble, but have probably lost their ass in regular sports betting, but they like the idea of betting every day. So they thought of this idea, well, let's do fantasy, which people like, but do it daily. And so you can join leagues with real people, you know, 10-person leagues, 20-person leagues. You can enter, you know, 1,000-person leagues for $5, and they have these big pots. And you can all, you know, you get it like $100 to spend in fake money, and each player has a certain cost to them, and you draft your team. And it's just for that. So last night for Thursday Night Football, you could have done just a Thursday Night Football fantasy league, or you could do Sunday football or Monday night, or you could do just 1 week in fantasy.
Well, that's what I was saying, but the people do the 1 week?
Yeah, or you can do NBA one night. There's 8 games. You draft any players from those 8 games, and then at the end of the night, you tally up the points, and the winner gets the pot.
So if there are 100 guys or 100 guys, 100 people, guys or girls, are betting the week 5 game or week 4 game, whatever the hell it was, and how many of those 100, although he would have probably a small price, how many people would pick Trubisky?
Very, very few, but the smart ones would, you know, look to maximize value, and if they, you know, look at matchups and they think, okay, I can get Mitch Trubisky for really cheap, whereas everyone else is probably going to buy, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Tom Brady or something like that, or lately Pat Mahomes from Kansas City, who's just been unbelievable.
So you're going to blow half your salary cap on one player.
Okay. Exactly. Right. So you'll try to get some diamonds in the rough. Obviously, your risk goes up there. So the person that, you know, that was smart enough to take Trubisky against Tampa Bay, which probably wasn't many, but the few people that did probably won.
Yeah, I don't see how you lost. Maybe, yeah.
Well, you could still lose. I mean, it takes more than one guy, but it gives you a huge, when your quarterback scores twice as much as every other quarterback, you got a great start.
But you would have had
but
to
you
have
can make up for it, you know, with bad running backs or bad receivers or a bad tight end.
Well, somebody would have had a couple of really good running backs, a couple of really good receivers to beat you.
Right. Right, and those guys cost the most money. So you're not going to have, you know, really good running backs and really good receivers. You're probably going to pick one really strong running back, and then you're going to take, you know, one running back that you think has good value that week, and you'll probably do the same at a receiver. And then, you know, you got to pick the right defense, which is always a gamble, and then a kicker, and et cetera.
All right, so it's obviously the day after Thursday night, so I can't do it for this week. So if I want to do it next week,
You can do it for Saturday's college football games, I think. You can do it for Sunday. You don't have to have the whole week.
All right,
do it for a day.
Let me walk through this slowly for those that don't, like me, that don't know what the hell we're talking about. If I want to do it for next week's NFL games, all right, I open myself an account up on Thursday afternoon, Wednesday, and I choose, I want to be in a game with 100 other guys or people, and it's $100 a person. I can pick a game like that, right?
Yep.
And now, what's the prize? What's these guys take?
That I don't know because I've never done it. Thomas would probably know. I've never done daily fantasy.
I thought he said, did he say 12-15%? 10%?
That sounds right. I would say my guess would have been 10%.
I don't think they were that much higher. I think it was almost exactly the same as Vegas. He might have said 10%.
Yeah, so.
Right, so I pick, so they say, okay, Chief, you're in this pool with 100 other people. Here's your salary cap, 100 grand. And oh, by the way, here's a huge list of players. Pick who you want, as long as it doesn't add up to over 100 grand.
right?
Exactly
and
right.
And I pick my guys.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, none of my guys do anything. They're all benched. They're all hurt. And I get screwed. But I could win. And is it winner take all, or is there, you know?
I think they pay out like top three, or depending on the size. If you're in a 100 person one, they might pay out the top 10 or top 5. If you're in a 10 person league, it's probably winner take all. You can sort of do that. And then I think another thing is that they're getting really good at regulating against robots doing like algorithms. Which,
how do you have an algorithm in football?
Well, in your drafting, they were running into an issue, and poker websites were running into this as well. They were running into an issue where, you know, you think you're playing with 99 other people, but really you're playing with, you know, 79 people and 20 bots, and the 20 bots are just drafting, you know, every possible combination of a team, you know, times 20. And that obviously changes the odds. And I guess they've gotten good at stopping that. But that was an issue for a while, I remember.
Also, if you had...
You want to be playing against 99 human beings. You don't want to play against robots that are just, you know, drafting, you know, different combinations of a team.
Yeah, they're by algorithm, they're optimizing that salary cap dollar.
Exactly.
In various combinations. So they're saying if I get this quarterback, then here's the team I can put around it. If I get another quarterback or running back or whatever, then here's the team I can put around them. And it's not, there's no judgment involved. It's all, it's all built to essentially maximize your probability of winning. And if you have 20 opponents out of 100 able to do that, then you got a problem. Your chances of winning are significantly diminished.
So you're saying that my mother was an early riser, and my stepfather was not. Would go to Vegas, and she'd go down at 7 in the morning and go to the poker room, and she'd sit down where there were 4 shills and start playing. She was unafraid of the shills. You're saying if it was 4 little computers there, she couldn't have done it.
Well, it would have been tougher.
Well, the computers take the emotional part of the equation out, and a lot of the bad decisions people make when it comes to gambling are emotional decisions.
Have you seen a lot of emotional shills?
You really don't want to play against computers, Chief,
in poker or
in chess when they...
Or not in chess, for sure.
When they calculate the odds perfectly in every hand, in every situation, and humans obviously can't do that unless they're, you know, major pros, and I assume even major pros make mistakes. Not to mention computers don't drink, and they get perfect amounts of sleep every night.
Well, that's BS, and they shouldn't be able to do that.
Exactly.
And they're not looking at the women walking by? Oh, you're not supposed to look at women anymore.
That's
Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, I think there needs to be like a drinking algorithm put into any...
I think you could hang in there pretty good with a 52-card deck. If you got any kind of math skills, you should be halfway decent on the numbers. The odds are not that tough. Now, if you start talking 4 decks and blackjack, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, but if you got 8 people at a table, and with each card, you know, you have your shared cards or whatever in the middle. With each card, the odds change. With position, the odds change. With, you know, pot values and all that stuff, and the computer can calculate that instantly.
Maddie, that's a huge disadvantage. I'm gonna say that if you are playing, what do you guys play, at Texas Hold'em? And you got 4 in the middle.
That's pretty much the only game you can get now.
Which I don't like to play. I'd rather play the other ones. But if there's 4 in the middle, 3 of whom are aces, and there's 1 ace left, I'm saying even you can figure out what the chances are of everybody, of the 6 people having it in their hand.
Right. That hand doesn't happen that often.
No,
but
no.
I could figure that one out. You're right.
There's 1 left.
So now let's take every other possible hand and let the computer figure it out. It's good at it.
It is easier for them to do it, especially if you're swigging a drink or giving somebody a tip. Yeah, it's a little easier for them to do it. But, I would agree. But I'm going to guess we have not come to a conclusion as who we're supposed to buy here. It looks to me like FanDuel and these other guys, are they public?
I know one of them. I think they're both public.
Yeah, well, how big do you think this is?
Yeah, because the best part of running a gambling operation is doing it with other people's money.
How big, I ask this question, I'm going to say legitimately as opposed to non-legitimately, what you see in Illinois and a lot of these gambling states, Vegas, you know, I don't know, Nevada's different because even to this day it's a fly-in, fly-out kind of place, not like it used to be, but in Illinois you see, it seems to me, and again I'm just lobbing this out there, You're going to run into a wedge. I mean, the people like Thomas and you who like to bet this stuff, and by the way, it's kind of fun. It's not like I'm giving you guys grief. The same 30 years ago,
you guys would have gone to the horse track, or you'd have had your poker game.
I still go to the horse track.
Okay, but I'm saying you might have had your poker game. When you get the casinos, all you did was put the horse tracks out of business. So now you got the casinos, and now you're putting it in everybody's bar. Now you're putting the casinos somewhat out of business. I mean, I think there's only a certain amount you can get out of a turnip, I guess, is the... No question about that.
Yeah, and I think technology is driving a lot of this. It's just a lot easier to do it on your phone and bet, whether you're betting sports or betting horse races or playing poker. It's a lot easier to do it on your phone or laptop than to actually go into any place.
Yeah, I mean,
but every person only has a certain amount of disposable income.
Right,
no argument there.
And I think
it's also, as Matt said, technology is driving it. Well, technology has driven lots of changes in society. It's not a new phenomenon that it would do that, because think about it with grocery stores. You know, where we used to have a little grocery store in town, and then we had the supermarkets, and now we have the Walmart and Meijer and places like that have replaced it, and now we're going online instead. So it's a steady stream of changes driven by technology. So yeah, it's the writing's on the wall for the casinos. Is that they'll always exist, there'll always be cause for them, but as an expanding industry, I don't see it.
But how does
see it going the other way?
Well, you still don't have slot machines at racetracks. Why? I mean, because it becomes an us versus them.
Is that at every racetrack or just Illinois?
I think it's just Illinois. I haven't been to a race. Anyway, Kevin, thank you very much. SP Futures now down 350. Dow is down 26. NASDAQ Futures down 23. Come back. We're going to have these jobs numbers and see what the market does.
We'll have John Neal.
Oil up 30 cents, and we'll have John Neal. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie, Mr. Matt Weber. S&P futures now up 2.25. Dow futures up 32. NASDAQ futures up 3. September payrolls. Matty, wasn't a song, Here I Am, Dazed and Confused? I have no idea where these numbers came from. 134 versus the 185. This is 2 days after an ADP number well over 200,000, like 230. I don't know where the hell the 100,000 went. And we have an unemployment rate of 3.7, which means that our maven, Carl Denninger, last month was talking about, last month we were revised upwards to 270 from 201. So there's 70 of it right there, which is sort of odd. Eddie, are you able to believe that in the month of August, that's say 20 working days, 11,000 people a day get hired, and now we shift to September, and we have 5,000 a day getting hired? Does anybody think that's possible?
I suppose it's possible.
Yeah, I suppose it's possible. But anyway, oil up 30 cents, S&P 10-year yield, S&P U.S. 10-year yield, 3.21, so it's up a little bit. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 93 now, 0.8%, FTSE down 56.8, CAC around down 25.5. Over in Asia, we still have the Chinese market closed. Nikkei down 191, 0.8%, 23,783. Hang Seng down 51, 26,572. Again, we've got oil up 30 cents, Brent down 5 cents, so that spread has come in a little bit. It's $9.90 today. Natural gas, again, this thing is galloping up another 4 cents. We were doing the show 5 years, this thing didn't move 4 cents. May now it's moving 4 cents a day. 3.21. RBOB 2.10. I'd love to be owning one of these companies where I was making money at 270. Now it's 321. I'm thinking I'm going to a good restaurant this weekend. What do you think? Gold up 390. Silver up 6 cents. Copper unchanged. Anybody got for us traffic, weather, sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have slow-moving expressways throughout the area due to rainy conditions. And that's not going to change anytime soon, so give yourself plenty of time as you're heading out this morning. And bring an umbrella. Kennedy and Eden, significant delays. We had an earlier crash on the outbound Eisenhower. That's all clear now, but the Ike is moving slow in both directions. Same can be said for the Stevenson and the expressways on the south side, but no accidents to report at this time, so that's good news. Off the expressways, we do have a couple of issues. Looks like in the... My screen just froze here. Western suburbs, Route 83 at North Avenue, which is a very busy intersection out near Elmhurst and Villa Park, that area. We have a crash at Route 83, so keep that in mind. A lot of people travel out there. Further west, Route 59 southbound between Mack Road and Branch Avenue is closed due to an accident. That's out near Naperville. A car hit a utility pole. We're thinking the utility pole won that one, but that's causing delays out in the western suburbs. That earlier issue on Lakeshore Drive is all clear, so that's good news. A couple other issues to report. Northern Burbs, Route 22 at Old McHenry Road, there's an accident. And just northeast of that, Milwaukee Avenue, which is Route 21, southbound at Rockland Road, there is a crash as well. So give yourself plenty of time this morning as you're heading out for your Friday morning. Weather today, rain on and off throughout the day, a soggy, cloudy day, a high of 66. Right now it's rainy and 57 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny, bright, a high of 85 degrees, beautiful day. Right now it's clear and 69. In sports, Blackhawks got off to a good start, opening their 18-19 season with a 4-3 overtime win up in Ottawa. Patrick Kane with the game winner in overtime. Coyotes were shut out by the Stars, losing to Dallas 3-0. Major League Baseball, Brewers lead their series 1-0. They top the Rockies 3-2. Dodgers lead 1-0 as well. They shut out the Braves 6-0. And in Thursday Night Football, it was the Patriots all over the Colts, 38-24. Chief.
The numbers here that somewhat bear away. Hey, Jan, how are you?
Good morning.
I'm trying to dig myself out of this employment report here. And it looks like another washout weekend in Chicago. How many washout weekends have we had since March, Matty? Like eight?
Yeah, it could be.
At least. I think we're almost talking about it every time.
So guess who clued me into the rain today, Jan? This is how my morning started. I walk out and I see Maddie's mongrel, the lovely Venkman, and his lovely girlfriend in the backyard. And Venkman is out there doing his business. And all of a sudden, he looks up. He got bonked on the head by a raindrop. 2 minutes later, Maddie and I are walking down the street with umbrellas getting poured on. But the dog dog tricked us into it. He felt the first bonk on his head, and he was not happy. He hustled back upstairs.
That's when he feels a raindrop. He has no interest in being outside for another second.
I don't blame him. Anyway, we had Carl.
Well, the last handful of days here, we've had the most rain we've had in many, many years, which is good because it'll fill up the lakes and the basins, and it's good for the town here. These type of storms are not like those ones we have in the summer that are destructive. So we just get nice safe rain is what I call it.
You guys got the remnants of that hurricane, didn't you?
Was the remnants of it, but by the time it got here, we didn't have any of those, real strong, forces we get where they have little microbursts and all that. That doesn't happen this time of year. So just a nice steady rain for a couple of days. Like I said, it'll fill up all the reservoirs and lakes and things like that.
Well, good for you. But here's what Carl was talking about. And Evie is at a disadvantage here, Jan and Maddie, but the page I'm looking at, now again, as one of my right-wing guys was accused me last week of lobbing fake news at him, I said I actually was looking at Bureau of Labor Statistics, Labor Force Statistics of Current Population, and then here in parentheses, fake news from the right. No, or from the left. No, it doesn't say that. It just says statistics. Anyway, here's the phenomenon in the last is, I think listeners have a pretty good feel for what the employment rate and everything is, but here's the three numbers from July. Actually, look at the July people employed number, 155,965. Right, this is the total, I believe this is the total employed, civilian, which is, again, I don't know where they keep getting these numbers. Okay, so from July, the number at the end of September is 155,962. So how we're up 200, almost 400,000 people, I don't get, because the numbers look like they're the same here. Now, this is probably
it sounds like a push to me.
Yeah, well,
we call that a push.
If you look at the news, I think this is the household survey. This is the one that Carl's always talking about, not the establishment survey, which is the one was reported. But according to this, July, there's 155,965 working. August, 155,542. So 420,000 people went someplace. Now, in September, we're right back at it. We're 155,962, almost the exact same number as July. But here's what happened. The amount of people unemployed went from 6,280,000 down to 5,964,000. So there's how you get the unemployment rate going from 3.9 to 3.7. But those 300,000 people, okay, that is the difference. There's actually 800,000 people here from 95,598,000 to 96,384. So if we do the math there, 384, you're talking about 766,000 people. By the way, I did that without a calculator, Matty. 766,000 people get into this mystery column of not employed, not employable, or out of the workforce. So all we've done since July, according to the household survey, is shove another almost 700,000 people into this never land. It's up to, I keep talking about 92 million, it's now up to 96 million. So since September of last year, we've added 2 million people to this nebulous, not in the workforce number, while we've dropped 800,000 out of the people we consider to be unemployed. So all that's happening here is with this unemployment number is people are dropping off the unemployment rolls, which means they're not counted anymore, and they're either going on some kind of disability or God knows what they're doing, but they're not coming into the work. Since last September, for instance, the amount of people employed, 154,324. Now it's 155,962. So we're up essentially 1,000,006. We're also up, and we're down 800,000 in the unemployed, and we're up damn near 2 million, 1,000,009 in this nebulous column. So I have no idea what that means. I mean, we just keep pushing people out into this. We're almost at a point now where there's 2/3 as many people eligible to work that aren't working as are working. That number somehow has to come down, John, for us to have what I consider to be economic health for all citizens.
It's somewhat interesting, just to add to that, this kind of dovetails into that a little bit. I've noticed out here, the PTI office out here, most people don't know, it kind of borders on where this community of Sun City is, where the retirement community is. We're just east of that as far as that goes. I've been noticing that a lot of these folks are now having way adult children moving in with them. What I mean is people my age in their 50s now moving in with their parents who are in their 70s or 80s. I'm seeing a lot of that out here. So I don't know if that's part of it to just say, I'm done working, whatever, moving with my elderly, parents. I'm seeing a lot more of that than I used to see just talking to people.
John, you can, if you're 55-ish, God help you if you're pushing 60, if you're there and you've got any kind of a medical history, your insurance, if you're not working for somebody who's paying for it, your insurance is more than your rent, or as much as your rent. Is that a fair statement, Matt, do you think?
I have no idea.
With a deductible. It's spectacular. And there's places now, because I, of course, have my feelers into the real estate communities. My significant other does real estate, Audrey, and she comes on the show from time to time. She's been selling some houses in some areas now, Jan, where the taxes 1.5 to 2 times the mortgage. Where some of these people, love the fact, and this is, everything, and this is not a criticism of anybody or anything, because I tell you what, there's an awful lot I don't know, that's for sure. Matty knows that for sure. He critiques my baseball all the time. But everything that happens and it follows through. And I can't stress this more. When you talk about Amazon, and again, they're an innovative company. I have nothing against them. When Amazon manages to, I'll use the term steal, an incredible amount of retail trade from people that are paying property taxes and everything else, and that because the people didn't have to pay or did not pay sales taxes and grow to the behemoth they are. I'm not saying they wouldn't be around if they would have done it in my view correctly. They wouldn't be as big. And you see places like the Lincoln Mall go under, and you see this stuff happen, and everybody says, "Well, that's great because I don't need to buy my bleep and pay taxes to the state of Illinois. I can buy it from Amazon and get my TV or my clothes or something there and not pay tax." Well, that's all well and good, but as soon as Lincoln Mall goes down, that's maybe the largest tax payer in whatever town that is, Sauk Village or something, and you look at the places around it, and all of a sudden you say, okay, let's double everybody else in town's tax, so a house with $60,000 instead of paying $2,000 in tax is going to pay $4,500. Don't think this doesn't affect. Now, I love the fact that we have some people that are long indices. I don't really have anybody that has Amazon stock. Other people in PTI do, but everybody cheers it. When your economy is only growing 1% or 2% like ours has been for 10, anytime somebody makes that kind of advantage, other people are losing, John. It's not like I only grew 3% this year. You grew 4, but that's okay. John Neal worked harder. Or Matty Weber grew 5. He got a 5% raise. But you know what? Matty's younger. He worked harder than I did. I don't mind. Look, give Matty the 5. He deserves it. Give me my 3. That's good enough. The inflation's 2. That's not the America we're in. That is not the America we're in right now. And it's I don't know if it's because of the political fighting, because of people keep doing the political fighting so they can keep stealing, but there's a direct relationship with putting these brick and mortar places out of business and having people that are retired having their taxes go up. And now the fact that Amazon stocks trade in 2000 and Jeff Bezos is the most rich man in the world, I guess I can applaud that, John, but there's a price to it. I mean, just realize, I'm not saying I would have done any differently. I'm not saying people did it this way or wrong. All I'm saying is understand the price to it. Because everything has a price. You drink too much, you get hungover. But duh, right?
Right. You know, and I think, they're having to become, as far as this retail situation goes, a little more innovative. I know in town here, just like you're talking about, some of these malls are drying up. You're probably aware of this one, but there's a mall here called Metro Center, which is kind of the mall. 20, 25 years ago in this town. Well, that's actually going away. I mean, how many years it's going to take. But what they're going to do with it is make a multi-use facility out of it. There's going to be a whole community there with the shopping. They're not going to have the mall-type shopping, but they'll have some anchor stores and kind of a hybrid. They'll have some drug stores in there, some anchor stores for groceries, things like that. That's some of the things that are happening here in answer to those types of things you're talking about, Tom.
Well, I'm just saying with the physics, every action has an equal and opposite reaction, right? I grew up in Evergreen.
Exactly.
I grew up in Evergreen Park, and a little bit of a history for listeners that are all over the country. I'm sure you remember, I don't know, Maddie, do you ever heard of the name Arthur Rubloff?
I don't think so.
Well, if you were 10 years older, you would know, because he was at one time probably the biggest shopping center developer for 30 years, right, John? I mean, everybody knew the name. His first development was Evergreen Shopping Plaza at 95th and Western in Evergreen Park. And then after that came Oak Brook and, Lincoln Mall and all these other places. That was the first one. And where he had all these shops in this, where all the parking was off street, blah, blah, blah. And Evergreen Plaza, those people paid retail taxes, for lack of a better term. Evergreen Park, we grew up for 10 years, right across the street. The other side of the street was Chicago. Evergreen Park High School, which was fine, really nice place. They had, picked up the garbage, all the other stuff that the cities do for you. And I'm going to say our taxes were 60% of the people across the street. That we were 60 to somewhere between 0.6 and 0.75 Chicago taxes. Because Evergreen Plaza paid a chunk. Okay, now Evergreen Plaza has gone by way of the Dodo Bird. There was a golf course down the block. Sam's and Menards came in, and I'm sure, beat these people up every which way but sideways, de-pantsed them. We're going to put the Menards in Evergreen Park. If you guys don't give us a deal, we're going to Oak Lawn. These guys cut these deals, and so now there's a Menards and there's a Walmart in Evergreen Park, and the Plaza is dead. Okay, I'm going to say that the tax in Evergreen Park now are 1.25 times higher than the Chicago taxes. Now, to say that there's not prices to be paid for all this stuff, I'm not judging right or wrong. Just don't be blind is all I'm saying, John. So when you look at this, when you look at these labor numbers, look at what's happening. Look at the page here. We continue to drive people into this not working category, and I don't see somewhere along the line. Well, what are we gonna do if that crosses? There's as many people not working as are working. So every guy working has to pay for two people? How the hell is that going to work? Imagine that, Matty. If every day you went to work, there's somebody in this country that you're essentially paying for to not work. Where does that get to the point where it can't happen? We got to be getting pretty close.
Well, it depends on what percentage you're paying them not to work. David from Florida writes in, we have been told for a long time now that 10,000 baby boomers would be retiring per day for as far as the eye can see. If you use, approximately 250 working days a year, that would be 2.5 million leaves per year.
We still haven't.
Is that not happening, or is that happening?
It doesn't mean they're all. I don't know if they're all retiring. He's right. There is a demographic shift, okay, into some of that. My point is, that many 700,000 in 2 months? That's a lot.
That would be a lot.
Now if they're just on Social Security, wow. I mean, how much can Social Security handle? I mean, there's not like there's a stockpile. David's right. I mean,
people are choosing to take it a little bit later. I was actually shopping last night, and I went. I was talking to a lady, and she said, "Oh, it's got a couple more years." I think she said she was 65. She's going to go to 67 to retire, and she was saying, you know, that she could make up to, you know, 40, at least up to 40,000, and still get her full benefits. Even going into retirement, she could keep this job part time. As long as she didn't make over 40,000. So I think a lot of people are choosing to do that.
Well, plus if you make over 40,000, you don't give back dollar for dollar. If you made 50 and you made 25 in Social Security, or say 20, you're not giving back all 20. You give some percentage back. I don't know what it is, but
kind of the difference between the two or some formula therein, right?
Well, if you look at the entire non-incarcerated population. Again, I should be saving some of this for Carl, but he always finds something different than I find anyway. I'm a rookie at this. The civilian non-institutional population. Do we know anybody who's institutional? No, even Thomas is out working, right? Yeah. Anyway, in the last year, that's gone up. It was $255,562,000. Now it's $258,290,000. So it's up $2 million. I'll call it $700,000. Okay. The civilian labor force, however, you get a little of this. The civilian labor force is only up 900,000. So the rest of them went into this other category, a not in workforce. So did 2 million people retire in the last year? Jan, I don't know. It seems like a lot.
Yes, it does.
But, you know, but then again, you know, 10,000 a day times 200 days, maybe we're getting some of that. But aren't some of these people dying? The people that are up there.
Some of them, I would assume, are dying.
Yeah.
You know?
So I mean, these. It seems to me that if you compile all this stuff, somehow or another. I mean, we have projects here in Illinois, John. I keep, you know, ragging about these docks or these stuffs in the river here. John, it's been 80 years since they put these things in, and every one of those is, you know, millions of hours of work for people. And you know, like we said earlier in the show. Maddie, why can't somebody, if there's going to be work at a lock and dam the year before, why doesn't somebody say, look, I'm putting some money in here, I'm opening up the local high school or junior college at night for carpentry classes, for this kind of classes, and we're going to have classes for people that when this thing starts to go, there's 2,000 people here local that didn't know how to be a carpenter before that could start working on this thing. Do we ever think out of the box like that? Ever?
Very rarely.
And don't you think like something like that might help?
By the way, we only have a couple minutes left, and we, you know, always get a lot of tweets and emails, and we don't get to read them all on the air, but we do read them all at least off the air, so
yes.
Please continue to send them, and you can follow us on Twitter if you haven't already, Stocks the Letter N Jocks. You can like us on Facebook. We have a recently launched Facebook page. Just search Stocks and Jocks and give us a like and a rating on Facebook as that audience is continuing to grow, which is great. Natachi, our good buddy Natachi, writes in regarding yesterday's conversation with Lou about Addison Russell. He said, despite Lou's protestations, MLB's policy on domestic abuse is not to enforce Me Too or any other SJW agenda, but rather to cover up the abuse to protect their wealth and their brand. So they're basically giving these suspensions and handing them out just to protect their wealth and brand regarding MLB, and hoping that by doing it, you know, at the end of the season, heading into the fall and winter, that people will forget about it and it's all good.
Oh, I think that Natachi's right, and I think basically Lou said the same thing. What Lou said is he doesn't want to go down that road, that your employer becomes essentially the new police force and the new law enforcement. And I'm with Lou on that, because you can go way too far down there.
It's a touchy subject,
yes.
Obviously. I mean, you don't want your employer, every single time you get a parking ticket or every single time you have too much to drink or whatever happens, you don't want your employer necessarily to take the law into their own hands. But at the same time, when you're in a very public position, like a professional athlete or something like that, you know, your employer has to protect the integrity of their brand, and they have, policies in every one of your contracts and ethics clauses and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't.
At the same time, they're buffering the law or somewhat hindering the law, the organizations themselves.
Yeah, I don't know what side I'm on that on this particular issue.
I mean,
you and Lou took a strong stance yesterday. You know, and I agree to some extent, but I don't know.
Let me ask you this, and I would ask Natasha the same thing. I remember some of the weirdest stuff. I was a ute. I mean, a real ute, and my uncle was a policeman. I don't know. He took me out to Cook County, and somehow he says, here, sit in here, and don't make any noise. He puts me in the courtroom, and there's this domestic abuse case going on. And Mike Reichel wrote an article about the same thing. He says, you go to these things, and people, you know, people are treating people the wrong way. There's problems. I mean, there's problems between people. You know, whatever. It's going to happen. It's not right, but it's going to happen. The last thing you need, in my opinion, is if you've got a policeman, a fireman, a traitor, whoever he is, smacks his wife. He shouldn't do it. And they're up there, and a judge says, what do you want me to do? And she says, tell him to stop hitting me, blah, blah, blah. We'll try and make a go of it. And they walk out. Do you want somebody in the back row and says, Matty Weber can't be a policeman anymore, he can't be a fireman anymore, he can't be a traitor anymore? I mean, what has that got to do with the price of rice? And to take this guy's livelihood away from him, is that going to make their road easier or slower or harder? I'm thinking it's a lot harder. So you got to be real careful where you go with this. SP Futures, I got him down $3. We'll be back on Monday. Stacks and Jacks.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.